It's going to be on John chapter 1, 1 through 18. And we're going to be talking about, kids dismissed. I'm sorry about that. My apologies. And we're going to be talking about He is. Man, He is everything, isn't He? And when I preach from here to there, whenever I'm up, we're going to be going through the book of John. So pray for me as we go through that and that God's in with that. I want you to imagine a time before everything existed. What was there? What was there before time existed? If you would this morning, if you could turn your Bible sermon over to John chapter 1, 1 through 18. I'm going to be reading out of the King James Version this morning. If you want to stand this morning, you can. And I'm going to read this as we're getting there. This came from Christian Living Today. When the light of Jesus reaches our heart, it enlightens our conscience, making the truth visible to us. Without Jesus, we cannot see the truth about our spiritual condition. It remains hidden in darkness. Just as light enables us to see physically, the light of Jesus enables us to see spiritually. Once the light of Jesus illuminates our hearts, we become responsible before God. There is no going back. We must choose between darkness and light. We either walk in His light or we hide from it in the darkness of the world. Either way, we cannot do it and we cannot escape it. This morning, Tim Bongiorno, Tim Bongiorno's with us this morning. Let's give him a round of applause. I love you. I wish you were still here. And every day, I miss Lori. I saw you this morning. I love you today, buddy. I'm sorry. Give me one moment. All right.
Can I pray?
Yes, you can.
Dear gracious Heavenly Father, I praise you that I can stand here. I lift this church up to you. I lift up the leaders here, Lord. Lord, I pray that each and every day we pray for them. Things are going. I know there's hurting. There's pain here. It happens when you lose a pastor. You're searching for a new one. Lord, I pray that each and every one of us would pray for each other. Pray for the healing. Pray for the support they need. Pray for the new pastor.
Amen.
I lift him to you. Heavenly Father, we go through cycles in a church. Heavenly Father, that the people that are coming in, I pray for those here, Lord, that may be searching for things to do in this church. You know their gifts. Show them, Lord. Show them that each and every one that are here today have things to do that you do here and for you to serve you. Pray, Lord, I pray for strength and guidance. Lift this church up. For all these things I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Tim. Amen. Y'all may be seated. We'll get there. All right. I love him. All right, let's start reading here in John chapter 1, verses 1 through 18. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehend it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. I love that. He was not the light, but he was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world, listen to this, knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave him power, amen, to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, and the glory as of the one begotten of the Father, the full of grace and truth. John bare witness of him and cried, saying, this is he whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. Amen. He was before him. And of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. And for the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. Amen. Praise the Lord this morning. This morning we're going to go through a couple things from the reading of the scripture. We're going to dissect this. And you see here, it's going to be talking about the Word in creation, John the Baptist's testimony, the true light, and then law and grace. Let's talk about the Word in creation this morning. The beginning of this, starting in verse 1, talks about in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was God. You see, in the very beginning, Jesus was there. This was introduced by a concept that the Greeks used, was called logos. Can you say that with me this morning? Logos. Logos refers to a divine word. It means that he was the divine word. Often identified with Jesus Christ, that he pre-exists, that he was the pre-existing Son of God. Before the foundations of the world was, the Logos is a divine principle through which God created the world and through which God revealed himself to man. God came down for us. Amen? We're going through different things this morning. The Logos, God, Jesus Christ, he loves you this morning. No matter what's going on in life, he loves you. Logos also refers to the meaning by which God reveals himself to humanity. John 1:14 says this, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. This shows us that Jesus, the Logos, is the ultimate revelation of God in human form. He was the ultimate revelation. What does that mean? He was the ultimate propitiation for our sin. He came so we could have everlasting life. This morning, Jesus Christ came so you could have abundant life and everlasting life. Verse 2 goes on to explain, it says, he was in the beginning with God. This statement points us back to verse 1, meaning that emphasizing Jesus was in the pre-existence before the foundation of the world was laid, and it was a constant relationship with the Father in heaven. This also brings us to the doctrine of the Trinity. Before the world was laid, there was the Father, there was the Son, and there was the Holy Spirit. Amen. And when he was on the cross, and I want to say this today, he knew you. Friend, today I want you to tell you, he loves you. He loves you. He knows our flaws, our problems, our hurt. He knows our anger, but he loves us. I don't know anybody else who would die for me except Jesus Christ. I don't know anybody else who would shed their blood for me, but I'm so thankful that Jesus died for my sins. Verse 3 goes on and goes to this. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. This clarifies Jesus Christ's role as the creator. He was the creator. Everything exists in the seen and the unseen realms was created because of him. You see, what is the unseen realms? I don't know what's all out there, amen? But I can tell you this, we fight a lot of principalities, a lot of demons in life. Friends, there's things that fight in the unseen against us. There's spiritual warfare that comes between you, your family. There's spiritual warfare that comes between us, the church. How do we overcome that? Prayer, going to Jesus Christ, going to him in our time of need. We go to the Creator. This points us back. Go back to the Creator, the one who created us. Go back to him in that time of need. Verses 4 and 5 says, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. Jesus is the source of all life, being both physical and spiritual. He provides abundant life. I want to tell you today, God came to give you abundant life. Abundant life. Wow, what does that mean? You say, well, Pastor, what's an abundant life mean? A happy life. It doesn't mean it's a storybook life, but it means it's a good life. I look around church and he's given you all an abundant life. We could say amen to that, couldn't we? Yesterday, I was helping down at people, helping people for our church. And I had to take a moment and just say, thank you, God, where I'm at today. Thank you, God. Thank you, God, for what you've done for me. Thank you where you've brought me from. My past life was ending in a not good area. But thank you, God, for where I'm at today. This also goes on to, it says, the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness was not overcome it. What does darkness mean? Darkness means sin cannot extinguish. Darkness, let me rephrase that. Light, God's true light, can extinguish darkness. Friends, I'm going to ask you today. We used to sing a song in church when you was little kids. You can remember, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. What did you do with that light? Do you hide it under a bushel? Oh, no? Where will we come to that next part? I'm going to let it shine. It's hard to let it shine sometimes. I've had a hard time with sometimes saying, okay, I need to let my light shine today. I'm feeling down today. Why am I feeling down today? Because there's people still dying, lost, and going to hell, Matt. You need to let them know. You can't just say, oh, you're dying, lost, going to hell. But you got to tell them, hey, there's a Savior. There's heaven. And God's had to show me sometimes, Matt, you got to get out of yourself and still show that there's a creator of the world and that light that shines in darkness. You have to be that light in dark places. That's just not for me. That's for all of us. He's calling us to be a light into dark places. And we are called to be that light in this world today. John the Baptist's testimony goes on to this. It says, there was a man that was sent from God whose name was John. You see, this verse introduces us to John the Baptist. He was the individual who was chosen by God for a unique purpose. All right, why did I have some of these seniors stand today? Christian, you were designed for a unique purpose. You may not be baptized in Jesus, but you were designed for a distinct purpose. Torrance, you were designed for a distinct purpose. There's many times I walk into our rooms, into our classrooms at church, and I think, wow, who's going to be a pastor out of here someday? Who's going to be an engineer? Who's God going to call to be a teacher? Who's God going to call to be a mayor? Wow, could we be teaching the next president? And if we are, God equip us that we could do right by them and help them. And that they can have that unique purpose. But John had a unique purpose. He was the forerunner. Verse 7 goes on to show us that he came as a witness, to bear witness to the light, that all might believe through him. This verse shows us that the primary role of his testimony about Jesus Christ as the light was to encourage people to believe on Jesus Christ. Friends, we are called to encourage people to believe on Jesus Christ today. Share the testimony. You know, they don't want to hear all of our pain. But today they need to see the light in dark places. Outside our doors, there's people dying, lost, and going to hell. If this is me standing here, or you, or whoever, and if you don't know Jesus Christ, and you don't know him, there is a great separation between you. That means that separates you from him for eternity. But once you know him, you're connected to him for eternity. That is the amazing gift of eternal security. You are eternal with the Father. Amen? You're one with him. Why wouldn't you want to tell everybody? Why would we keep this a secret? John did not want to keep it a secret that Jesus had came to save which was lost. That was his primary role, was to testify about Jesus Christ. John was not the light of the world, but he was to bear witness of the light. That is like us. We're not Jesus. But if you're saved, you have what? The light of the world in you. You are to shine that light so brightly in dark places. This verse is to clarify that John is not the source of light, but rather a message for those on a mission to the true light. Help people, point them to the way of Jesus Christ. You know, if someone around the world is needing to know who Jesus Christ is and get saved, do we realize God sends missionaries? God will send a missionary to their place. That's what their primary role is for, is because someone is dying lost and going to hell and wants to know who Jesus Christ is. So God knocks on the heart of a young man or woman or a young couple and says, you are called to the mission field. And God gives them a divine place to go. And when they go, people already waiting in the balance. It's just like Mission Point. We are praying for a pastor. God will send one. God will send a pastor. God will send someone who has a heart for people, because Mansfield has people dying lost and going to hell. Look out your windows. Look out your... I'm going to tell you, we should be praying hard what God can do. It goes on to verse 9 through 11. It says, Jesus being the true light, came to the world offering salvation for all humanity. I'm going to stop right there for a second. God didn't segregate people out. Jesus don't segregate people. It's all humanity. He loves whosoever will call upon the name of the Lord shall be what? Praise God today for that. It doesn't matter who you are, where you are. God will save you. He will bring you out. I want you to know, don't ever say someone's too far gone. Why? God can save them. God loves them. Even though Jesus was the creator of the world, he was not recognized by many of his own people, being the Jewish nation. Many of them rejected him. Many of them today, people will reject you for your message. Be proud who you are. Be proud who you are. If you're a Christian, don't be ashamed of it today. I thank God from where he brought me from. Amen. I know who I once was, and I know who I am today. Praise God for what he does. I thank God for salvation. I thank him today for saving me and bringing me out of where I was. I, Matt Parsons, was a sinner dying lost and going to hell, and then Jesus reached down and saved me. God sent people in my life to teach me about Jesus Christ, to love me, to lead me to where I am today. And I'm still working on my sanctification, progress every day, amen? Every day, every day. Is the road bumpy? Sure is. But I want to tell you, friends, we are called to be that light today in that dark place. We're called to be it. This points us back to the tragic reality that even still humans, us, the creation, can be spiritually blind and reject the true light of Jesus Christ today. We still reject it. I'm going to tell you that you may witness to somebody or you may tell someone about Jesus Christ and they may say, I don't want nothing to do with it. It might be your friends. It might be your loved ones. I want to encourage you this morning, don't give up. Don't give up. Hold on. Hold on. No one is ever too far gone. If God can reach a woman at the well who had five husbands and the last one wasn't her own, and he gave her eternal water and she left her water pot, then I want to tell you this morning, nobody. That means nobody is ever too far gone. If he could take a woman with an issue of blood and she crawled through a crowd on the floor and touched his hem of his garment, and he said, the vesture went from me. And she was healed immediately. I want to tell you this morning, nobody, nobody is ever too far gone to reach. That means our little kids, all the way to our senior citizens, no one is ever too far gone. Amen? When someone walks through this door and they've been down and out, don't kick them to the curb. Amen? Love them to Jesus. Love them back to God. I'm thankful that some people really loved me back to Jesus. Amen. The Word became flesh and he made him dwell among us. This verse brings us back to the central doctrine of the incarnation is that Christ took on a human nature, meaning God the Son came in full humanity form. He came down to earth. He was born of a virgin birth. Amen. Who likes to celebrate Christmas? Anybody in here? That's all because of Jesus. Where would we be without him? But he came down to earth. He was born. He lived a sinless and spotless life. And why is that for? It's because, I want to tell you, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not what? Perish, but have everlasting life today. I can't say any clearer than that. He loves you. He loves you. It goes on to the law and grace. Verse 17 shows us that the law of Moses and grace and truth through Jesus Christ is still a big debate even unto this present day. Are we under the law or under the grace? Let me tell you, friends, grace. You are saved by grace divine. I thank God for a whole lot of grace. Man, we get grace messed up sometimes. I get grace messed up sometimes, and sometimes we get messed up in that whole thing of, man, we have to be accountable. We have to say we're sorry. We got to love people. We got to love people. I want you to know that today. We got to love people. Grace goes farther than anything can go. Grace goes down to the deepest stain. And it goes down there. And if you'd let Jesus work in every part of our lives today, we'd see something change. God would remove and he'd set free and he'd change. But we got to let Jesus down into the parts we haven't let him get down to in our lives today. Let him into that part you've held off for a while. You said, God, I gave you 90% of my life, but I've held off on 10%. I'm asking you, Christian, give him that extra 10% today. He needs all of you. Let him work on you today. I've had to give God all of me lately and say, God, work on all of me. Transform me. What do you want of Matt? Sometimes I look at Matt and I know people think, oh, he must really like himself. No, there's sometimes I look at me and I took a spiritual look and say, no, I don't like what I see. God, can you help me? This morning, I want to ask you, get out your spiritual mirror. Don't look to your left. Don't look to your right. Don't look to your neighbor. Don't look at me. Look at you. I've had to do this lately and say, Lord, where am I? Lord, and he shows me every day, I got to have a lot more grace with people. I got to be more loving. Let's wrap her up here. And I'm going to bring this into you. How can we make it to heaven? Only one way is by Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. Only one way. Romans 3:23 says this, and many of you know this, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That means no matter who you are, you have. That means even though you are saved, you're probably still going to. Amen? Amen. People are going to mess up. What does that mean? We have to still love them. Romans 5:8 says this, but God demonstrated his love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Friends, I want to let you know today, if you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior, he died for you this morning. He died for you. He shed his life's blood for you on Calvary. That's why he loves you. Romans 6:23 says this, for the wages of sin are death, but the gracious gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Romans 8:1 says this, therefore, there is no condemnation for those in Jesus Christ. When you accept him as your personal Savior, what he is saying, there's no more condemnation. He takes that away. The guilt, the pain, the agony. He takes that away from you. In the Romans 10:9, it says, if you confess with your mouth, Lord Jesus, and believe in your heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Confess with your heart, and you will be saved. Friends, I don't know where anybody stands in here this morning. I'm giving you my heart for a moment. Justin, you can come up. But I know we have a wonderful church. I do know there's nobody perfect. But I do know we need to pray. And this morning, if you feel like you need to pray this morning, this altar is open. This is where healing takes place. This is where life gets changed.